Mending the Financial Rags?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's the morning open, a look at the economy as we check trading for the day. Markets just getting started, so let's ask that question. Where's Wall Street? Markets are up barely here at home. The S&P and NASDAQ up about a tenth of a percent. The Dow, too, up about 10 points at 10,237. Markets in Europe right now pretty much mixed. The FTSE down just a tad, but the DAX and the CAC 40 in Paris are up. And shares in Asia were up as well today. Julie Nieman is analyst with Smith Moore & Company. She's with us live from St. Louis this morning. Hi, Julie.
Morning, Steve.
So at noon Eastern today, the Senate Banking Committee chairman will put forth this long-awaited proposal for financial regulation reform. Does Chris Dodd have a chance with all this?
He has a good shot. You know, everybody's going to be weighing in on this, but the need for regulatory reform is absolutely huge. The problem is there's nobody in the agencies who really understands the concept of risk, and they've all been, that's not on my table. I shouldn't be accountable for regulating that area. And so everything's been slipping through the cracks. This is the first attempt at getting some consolidation.
Sounds like a little game of hot potato, huh?
That's it exactly. In other words, who's to blame? You know, but if you don't have anybody who's held accountable, then all the crooks, I mean the financial innovators, are going to find the gaps in there and continue to bring through instruments that have more risk than anybody can imagine or even start to govern.
Some of the major retailers, Julie, report this week, Macy's, Walmart, JCPenney, they report sales. And with yesterday's big rally, the market seems pretty confident that the numbers are going to be good. I mean, is it being too optimistic, do you think?
Well, I think everybody's trying to emulate Big Wally here. Yeah, a lot of retail sales are coming back to some extent here. But when they start talking about same-store sales, you have to remember what they've done is eliminate a lot of stores, so it's looking much better than it actually is. Black Friday is still going to be the key thing. Shoppers are waiting to see what kind of bargains they can get there. We're going to see a very decent Christmas from the standpoint that the stores have very lean inventories, but consumers are still concerned about their jobs. Job unemployment is rising, so it's going to still be a lean Christmas.
Julie Nieman from St. Louis. Julie, thanks.
Thank you.
In an obvious attempt to slow the spreading of the flu this morning, a Senate committee is holding a hearing on a bill that would guarantee paid sick days for people affected by the regular strain or by H1N1. The House already looking at similar legislation. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
A lot of workers just get a lump of days off, period. They can use them either as sick or vacation days. Of course, no one wants to burn a vacation day, so you go to work sick. That's a problem if you have swine flu. The bill being considered at today's hearing is in response to the swine flu pandemic. Backers of the House bill say it would protect about 50 million workers with no sick leave. Many of them work in low-wage food service and hospitality jobs where they could make other people sick. The bill would cover workers in businesses with 15 or more employees. The National Small Business Association says the legislation could hurt small businesses. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace. Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com. By CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 750,000 tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And by The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com.
Oracle today has some words for the European Commission. The software giant says it will vigorously oppose, that's their words, the EC's objections to its deal to buy Sun Microsystems. Now, the EC objected on antitrust grounds, and that's thrown a wrench in the $7 billion deal. And it's in direct contrast with the U.S. Justice Department's green light of the deal. A Justice Department that some say the Obama administration has made more sensitive to antitrust concerns. Let's bring in Kevin Allison, who is Lex columnist for the Financial Times in London. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, good morning.
Why the discrepancy between the United States Justice Department giving this deal the go-ahead and the European Commission saying, wait a second, we have this objection?
It is strange because Christine Varney has pledged to reassert the government's role in policing anti-competitive behavior. theoretically, that should jibe well with the European Commission, which has always been more activist about policing competition concerns. But in this case, it's the European Commission which is at loggerheads with the U.S. Justice Department about whether or not the Sun Microsystems deal should be allowed to proceed.
So how does this move forward? I mean, what's the likelihood that the deal goes through with this objection?
Oracle could always walk away, but it probably doesn't want to, because that would mean that some of Sun's more valuable software, such as Java and Solaris, might fall into the hands of Oracle's competitors. So Oracle still has an incentive to get the deal done. It just has been unusually vocal about its objections to Brussels' ruling.
Kevin, how does this affect someone who's going to buy a computer today?
Well, for your average laptop owner, your average person who's listening to their iPod, tapping away on their Mac, is probably not going to have too much to worry about from whether or not an Oracle or Sun deal goes through. But it's actually very important, because this software helps companies lower costs and improve the way they can serve customers. A company like Amazon, for example, has to manage immense amounts of data that it gets from customers about purchases that they're making online. It's a massive amount of data, and it's those companies that are going to have to face some of the competitive issues that could arise from Oracle buying Sun.
All right, Kevin Allison, the Financial Times Lex columnist, we thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
And finally, from the Marketplace Whose Line Is It Anyway department, Mutual of Omaha Insurance has decided to settle its lawsuit against Oprah Winfrey's Harpo Productions over aha moments. Earlier this year, Mutual started an ad campaign using the slogan,
"Proud sponsor of life's aha moments."
The company says it sought a trademark for the phrase last year. No one objected to it. But on her show and in her magazine, Winfrey often talks with guests about aha moments as flashes of understanding. And Winfrey's people sent a letter asking Mutual to stop using the slogan. Our aha moment? Both sides say the issue was settled amicably. From Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.